Let's pray. God, I pray now that you would meet us as we're reminded of the love and service of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. As we consider the gospel story that we heard read, I want us to briefly reflect on the love of Jesus together. I was in a meeting last week where Father Mark said someone asked him if he loved Jesus. And he responded, "I have better news. Jesus loves me." So I'm unapologetically stealing that story. Hope he wasn't going to use it later. Because it is so central to this text and what we're doing here tonight. Because the root of Jesus serving his people, the way we heard read, and even dying for his people, is his love for his people. His love for us. His love brings the story of the Bible into proper focus. His love meets us tonight as we look toward the death of Jesus and beyond to his resurrection on Sunday. So let's just spend a few moments reflecting on the love of Jesus in our text. The very beginning of our reading, we find ourselves on the eve of Passover. The first Passover, as you may know, took place in Egypt, when God's people marked their doors with the blood of a lamb so that the judgment of God passed over that house. Their firstborn sons are delivered from God's judgment. And now, centuries later, we find our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the true firstborn son, taking the judgment of God on his own shoulders for the sake of his people. He is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. All of the Old Testament, all of those Passover lambs, all of the law points forward to this night. If you're reading carefully through John's Gospel, you might also notice that there are several feasts. In fact, this is the sixth feast that John's Gospel mentions. In this sixth feast, we're walking toward the darkness of Holy Saturday before bursting forward to a new seventh feast that marks the beginning of the new creation. So not only is John telling us that the story of Old Covenant Israel is reaching its conclusion on this night, but he's telling us that the story of the world itself is finding its climax on this night, as Jesus is going to the Father to rule over a new creation. You see, the Gospel of John begins with a story of creation. Jesus is the Word who was with God. Through him, all things were created. And now here, as we move toward the end of the Gospel, Jesus brings the new creation about. He's ascending to the Father's right hand to rule as king. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. He returns to the Father because both creation and redemption are rooted in the plan of God from the very beginning. And God's plan leads us here to an upper room in the backwaters, the outer rim of the Roman Empire, so to speak. Think about that for a moment. The whole story of Israel, the whole story of the creation itself, leads us not to the great halls of Rome, not to the glorious palaces of the kings of the East, but to a small upper room in the province of Judea, on the eastern edge of the Roman Empire, where a Galilean rabbi and his disciples gather together to eat a Passover meal. So think about this. The whole story of the world, the whole story of everything, hangs on the thread of the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus for his disciples. The love of Jesus for you. With his Passover sacrifice, his return to the Father in view, we now see the full extent of Jesus' love as he humbles himself to serve us. As he gets up to wash the disciples' feet, He's not simply washing dirt from their feet, right? He's showing us what his self-giving death will do. Cleanse them, rescue them, bring them into his kingdom. And so, as we consider the love of Jesus, it's a terrible and wonderful thing that all of our fates hang in the balance on the love of Jesus for us. It's a risky thing to believe that Jesus loves you. It comes with a lot of cost. But it's a glorious risk to take because it's the only thing that makes sense of the cross. Bruce Milne, a British scholar, reminds us, in the end, there is no explanation of the cross other than the love of God. There can be no other, for we certainly do not deserve it and can never earn it. The whole story of the Bible turns on this hinge. Jesus loves you. The whole story of the Bible hinges on the truth that Jesus loves me. That's the only point to this homily. On this night, remember this. Jesus loves you. He loves you as deeply and as fully as you could ever be loved. Even when you were at your worst, even when the worst is done to you, he loves you to the uttermost, even to the cross and back again. As you reflect on his humble service at this table that leads us to the cross, remember that he has done this because he loves you. And a couple of chapters later in this gospel, the Lord Jesus will say, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus has laid down his life for you, his friend. He calls you to join him in his death and his life. And even as he invites you to die with him, he invites you to feast with him so that you may know life beyond measure. So whatever you've been thinking this week, whatever you faced this week, this month, this year, since last Easter, I have good news for you. Brothers and sisters, men and women, boys and girls, Jesus loves you. He laid down his life for you. And this changes everything. So tonight, as we see the love of Jesus embodied in service, remember that this is not a begrudging service. This is not serving against his will, but this is the deepest loving service we could imagine. So please remember during this Holy Week and Easter that Jesus loves you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.